your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. We have a fantastic show today. I'm joined with Yoko Miyashita, CEO of Leafly. Yoko, fantastic having you on the show.
Thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you on, and I've been actually looking forward to this because I do want to dive into your background prior to Leafly. But you know, for everyone who's tuning in now, if you don't know Leafly, I don't know where you've been. You know, Leafly is literally one of the largest cannabis information resources out there. Yoko, how many monthly visitors do you have now?
Yeah, we have 10 million monthly active users on our platform today.
Amazing. So, you know, a lot of growth there. You guys are providing so much pertinent information on cannabis. Everything cannabis related is on Leafly. And, you know, Yoko, you have an amazing background. You know, prior you were over at Getty Images. You were the SVP and general counsel over there. And I come from that same space. So I had launched, you know, a content platform for the masses prior to Philo. So I was excited of having you on the show because we kind of come from similar worlds. And, you know, you have also that legal background, and you were at Perkins Coie, who's actually a client of ours as well. So a lot of things coming together here. So thanks again for coming on.
Let's dive in. Where can we go with this? So excited to hear about your background. Love talking about my Getty Images days and really that through line to the work here at Leafly.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, it's kind of interesting. All of us come from, you know, different worlds beyond cannabis. You know, I co-founded a company called Buddy Media back in 2007, sold it to Salesforce in 2012, and then, you know, co-founded a company called Social Native, which was really, you know, all on the content side. So now I'm in the cannabis world too, the last few years. And I think my first question for you really, you know, as you're coming from that kind of, you know, legal, you know, general counsel mind, you know, what are some, or maybe some of the benefits of having that legal expertise when it comes to obviously being a CEO at a cannabis company, but also a, you know, in the cannabis world, it's so highly regulated. And, you know, I think someone with your focal point, you know, probably has an unfair advantage to other CEOs.
It's funny, I really narrow this down to seeing strategic opportunity is understanding the policy, regulatory, and legislative landscape of cannabis. Mm-hmm. Your area to move, what you can do, what's okay, what's not okay. Defining all of that is defined by the intersection of those three points. And, you know, for me, I look at my background as it gives me a key to navigating all of that and figuring out where to move the chess, right? What is the layout of the board on which you're moving your chess pieces?
Sure. I mean, I think from, you know, Yoko, you're based in the Pacific Northwest. You're in Seattle, correct?
Correct.
So, you know, this past year, I think for many people, you know, they've kind of looked at the cannabis industry and go, wow. I mean, so much has happened, right? Obviously, New York legalizing, New Jersey legalizing, Connecticut legalizing, you know, Northeast quadrant of the country, just, you know, massive domino effect that's taking place. You know, what's your kind of lens when you're looking at it from, you know, the West Coast, where, you know, we're obviously very far behind over here. California in particular, you know, kind of being the, you know, early days, like, how do you look at what's happening on this side of the country from a total, you know, I guess, I mean, the stigma I could say is gone, more and more people using the plant. Like, how do you look at that right now?
Matt, you know, what I would say is that we could have told you that years ago. Why? Because we see the consumer traffic. We see the consumer interest. We see the people who want to learn and read about cannabis on our platform way before a state legalizes.
That's interesting.
Like, that's really, and you know, we've really been working to transform, not just to become the information resource of cannabis, but to build out our marketplace, right? When you have 10 million monthly active users who are deeply engaged in our cannabis content and research and data, what does that attract? It attracts the licensed retailers, 4,600 on our platform, you know, 8,000 brands. So for us, like, we were already seeing this behavior. We were already seeing the interest from New York. We were already seeing the interest from the East Coast. There are tons of other prohibition states where consumers are interested and engaged in cannabis, and they're coming to Leafly to read about it, right? Like, just because you don't have access to licensed cannabis doesn't mean you're not consuming. So for us, we already knew those markets were coming and that interest was there.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting. I think from an insights perspective, are people looking at product? Are they reading about strains? Are they just trying to get overall information? Like, hey, is this right for me if I want a product for sleeping or focus? Like, what are some of the kind of, you know, moments where you guys are like, whoa, this is not a few people searching. This is like a large conglomerate of cohorts that are all looking to, you know, they need resources because that's not in their area yet. Like, what are some of the things you found?
It's all of the above, but like, we're really strong. Our strains database is one of the most comprehensive in the world, right? Over 5,000 strain entries that's then enriched with all of the consumer feedback where they leave us structured reviews. How did this make me feel? And we actually have inputs, right? Hungry, tired, sleepy, energized, you know, probably 25 different qualitative parameters where consumers can tell us how a strain made them feel. And I love this anecdote that one of my colleagues gives of, hey, way before there was any legal cannabis, even medical cannabis in New York, I would buy from my dealer and I would go and research the strain that was already put, you know, stickered on my package. And I'd go look up the strain on Leafly. And I think that's it, right? You see this interest, the people who are really deep into this and getting to know cannabis. And we look at our platform really as there's an entry point for everyone. You may be at the start of your journey. You're just learning about cannabis. What is this THC stuff? Guess what? We can answer that question for you. All right. I might be that person going, hey, I'm really looking to change. Would love to have better sleep. What can I try for sleep? Have an entry point for you too. And you might be way into your cannabis journey where you're like, I want this strain. I want this in a dab. What's out there? Let me read more about it. So I think we really look to serve and meet consumers wherever they are at in their discovery journey.
Yeah. I think too, it's just like, you know, your site, you have there's so much information and you kind of have all this at your fingertips. You know, I was recently at Trailblazers in Ojai a few weeks ago. And, you know, David, who's the CEO over at Open Book Extracts, was speaking on THCV, which I don't know if you've read about yet, but it's this kind of new, you know, it's THC. It's a new derivative of THC, essentially, that is more of a stimulation. It's kind of like, it's almost like meant to replace Adderall, but in a natural way from the plant. And I had never heard about it before. And I remember when I was in California, I literally was on Leafly looking where I could get it. And so I think there's a lot of people out there that are doing the same thing. They're hearing about something that they have not heard. And then they're using resources like you guys to try and find, hey, where can I get that product, whether it's delivered or through a dispensary and whatnot. And I just think we're kind of in we're in a moment right now of just so much is groundbreaking with our industry. And I think for you guys, you know, big question I had for you is, you know, obviously what I was just saying with New York and New Jersey, the East Coast is presenting such a huge opportunity for the industry. And, you know, we work with so many companies on the compliance side. So a lot of law firms, a lot of MSOs really want to use our back end to understand the regs, but it's still early, right? So there's not a ton of information out there. And so I'm just curious from a Leafly standpoint, like, how do you guys plan on honing in on that, you know, rapid East Coast opportunity? Like, you know, there's so much information that needs to be gathered and dispensaries and whatnot. I'm sure you're already doing that with medical, but, you know, on the rec side, it's massive.
Yeah. And I think it's what we all have to do in this industry, right? Where like you blink and you miss the moment.
Right.
So that having your finger on the pulse of what's happening, and you guys are in a great situation with, on the regulatory side of just actually in real time understanding what's happening at those commission level meetings, you know, last week's pronouncement, or it was this week where they said, oh, we don't think rec sales are going to happen until 2023. And being able to understand that in real time is critical.
Right.
But excuse me. for us, we really look at that and say, okay, what does the consumer need to know? And let's make sure we're bringing them along on this journey in real time. And that starts from, hey, this is state legislatures contemplating this. Here's when the vote is. Here's how the vote went. Here's, it's actually been now legalized. What can you expect? So we're really cultivating the demand side of the platform, taking them along on this journey. The other big announcement out of New York was flower sales out of medical dispensaries. We've been doing a ton of promo and targeted notifications in that market to just bring consumers up to speed. And at the same time, we're already working with the medical dispensaries and, you know, creating engagement opportunities to reach that consumer audience to say, hey, you want to be able to promote your flower availability to New York consumers? Here's a targeted way to do that through our platform, whether that's through notifications, emails, or on-site messaging. So for us, it's yes, you, and this is why I think the background always helps, understanding the regs and how they're moving and how quickly they'll move and trying to just, if not at least stay in lockstep, thinking one step ahead and understanding where that might go. That's critical because it has this flow through implication to our product.
Totally. Now, you know, when we first started the show, you had, you know, mentioned about a new report that you guys have, you know, just published. And I, you know, when I was looking at it this morning, you know, I think I was reading that cannabis is now the fifth most valuable crop in the U.S. So I would love maybe if you could give us a little bit of insight on that report and maybe, you know, some of the findings for the industry. It's awesome to hear.
Can you believe that?
It's crazy.
The fifth most valuable crop. There's so much richness out of here. And I'll just start with talking about the crops report and really sort of core to our work and core to our mission has really been elevating this industry, right? And showing the world what we are doing and creating in terms of economic opportunity and value. And really our foundational piece was the work we do on jobs. We do an annual jobs report. And there are three, as of our measure last year, 321,000 full-time equivalent jobs in cannabis. We report that because the federal government did not collect and report this data. Same thing on the agricultural output side. There's no one looking at the production and the value being created out of cannabis. And that's super important when you're talking about policy and you're talking about actually building state economies. So for us, that's the foundation and the mission of why we go and do all of this deep, deep level research. But there's just, to your point, fifth most valuable crop. There are 13,000 licensed cannabis farms in the U.S. And they produced, you know, our 12-month measure, 5 million pounds of legal cannabis.
Wow. What's the number one crop from a comparison perspective? Do you know?
Number one crops, I think the only ones that are ahead of it are wheat.
That makes a lot
of
sense.
I know we're ahead of cotton, wheat, soybeans, corn, and hay.
Wow. So cannabis is ahead of cotton in...
Cannabis is ahead of cotton.
That's wild. And you can't, and listen, think about the, we don't even have a lot of states that are growing it. Like that's... This is just a very limited purview of a crop that, you know, hasn't been, you know, totally been able to be grown everywhere, right? This is wild.
Oh, and I want to just emphasize that point. This is a really conservative figure because we really only did this on the basis of adult use states, right? It's 11 adult use states that we counted. There are dozens more on the medical side. You said fifth largest crop across the country, but it's the number one most valuable crop in five states, Alaska, Colorado, Massachusetts, Nevada, and Oregon.
Wild.
So, and there's another thing that like what, and I'm also, I just got a couple days sneak peek on sort of the findings, but the challenge here is also cannabis farmers are not being counted. I'm going to put that in air quotes, counted as farmers in terms of the benefits, the subsidies, and the programs that are made more broadly available to all other farmers in this country. Like that stigma
that needs to change. I mean, that's something that we have to make sure that we're thinking about that in a smart way. You know, I know I've read so many articles too, like there's a lot of farmers, you know, from a cost perspective, right? Like it can be very expensive with, you know, land and, you know, all the things that take to harvest the crop. And, you know, that's something that we definitely have to have, you know, the government look at.
100%, right? It's like this, it's so, cannabis is so valuable to state economies, and the second class, third class citizen treatment of this industry and its players just has to stop, right? Yeah. Like the faster we are to fully embrace this industry and see and acknowledge the value that it's creating, the better this goes for everyone involved. It can be more inclusive. It can drive economic development. It can drive more state revenue.
Totally. You know, I think, Yoko, which is so interesting, and I feel like this is really, this, I've seen this happen so much in the last year, as I have, you know, my mom, who's in her 70s in New York, who's always been like, oh no, I would never smoke cannabis. No, I never did that. I would never touch it. You know, now she's like, Jeff, you have all these amazing people on your show, and it sounds like these products are incredible. Can you get me some of these creams and topicals? I'm like, oh, now you want to try it? Because, you know, the thing is that everyone's educated now on the value and the use cases of what it can do for you from a health and wellness perspective.
Welcome, Jeff's mom, to cannabis. Like, I love that story. And that's something to understand about this consumer segment, right? Fastest growing segment of consumers, people over 60 and women.
Yeah, true. It really is. And there's so many amazing things out there that are really helping people, you know, whether it's focus, whether it's sleep, whether it's, you know, just almost, you know, well-being, right? With, you know, combinations of CBD and THC together, you know, and I mean, you have these celebrities that are even, you know, like Martha Stewart, right? Like, wow. I mean, it's pretty wild, right? This is something that, like, how was this ever illegal? Right. This is the crazy part of it. It's a plant that's helping us with our health.
Yeah.
And we really missed out on it for so many years. It's
you really know, and that's it. Right. Like, and that's why we really talk about, you'll hear us at Leafly really focus on fairness and equity and inclusion, because why did it get why were we subject to 100 years of prohibition? Because if you go back in the history, right, thousands of years, hundreds of years of cannabis use in medicinal and cultural practice. It's only been outlawed for about 100 years, and you got to ask why. And there are some really poor policy decisions as to why we made it illegal.
Yeah, it's a shame. So question for you, kind of, you know, with your history, obviously focused on, you know, from law, content, coming from a big company like Getty Images. When you first came on board, you know, and you were in the cannabis space, because I went through a very similar thing. Did you have a lot of friends and a lot of colleagues that were like, wow, that's really risky? You know, this is a big jump.
I'm sure you got you work for an amazing company. What are you doing? I'm totally.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's the, like, the, I'm sure you get these, all the puns and the jokes they make.
Yeah. Well, you know what's so crazy is actually everyone said to me when I came in the industry a few years ago, they were like, Jeff, oh my God, can you get me edibles? And I'm like, okay, look, guys, it's not plant touching. You know, we're a technology company. And it's just funny how everyone kind of, you know, in the early days, you know, not now, like now everyone's kind of like, yeah, it's coming in New York, and there's going to be dispensaries everywhere. And you know, I think it has to happen fast, because there's a lot of gray areas right now, because it's legal, but it's not legal. And so they got to squash that before it becomes too underground. You know, I see people with all these products in New York. I'm like, I've never heard of that brand. It's not a real brand. You know, they almost repackage a real brand and ship it to.
Oh, totally.
Crazy. It's crazy.
There was we were in New York for a conference at the end of September, and one of my colleagues came across a weed truck on the corner, and they were selling pre-rolls, and we were like,
wow.
They claimed they were infused, and you're kind of going, huh, what is going on here? Right. Might it just be CBD pre-rolls? But yes, that's why we're such huge advocates for the legal market. You don't know what that is.
Well, listen, I feel like you guys have such great resources. I've literally spent a lot of time myself on Leafly, just, you know, reading up on certain products, you know, kind of like, if you're new to the space and you're kind of curious, go to Leafly, check out all of their different verticals. There's a lot of cannabis one-on-one there that you could really, you know, educate yourselves on. So you guys are doing great work in the space. And of course, really appreciate you coming on and talking about everything that you guys are doing. And, you know, Yoko, if you've heard the show before, you know, we always end the show with some quick fire questions, which I know you love. And I promise to be easy on you.
All right, let's go.
Okay, super easy. We're going to do this or that. I'll just give you two answers and you tell me which one you prefer.
Okay, fair. Fair. Easy.
Okay, indica or sativa?
Indica.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Phone call or text?
Text.
Toast or eggs?
Eggs.
Facebook, sorry, Metaverse or Instagram?
Instagram.
Mobile games, console games, or no games?
No games.
Okay, fair. I'm kind of in that boat, although I do have a the Oculus that I got like 9 months ago and I used it for like a week and it's been sitting in my drawer and I think it's time to dust it off.
It just makes me feel old, and I just want to tell you, I am the owner of a first generation Nintendo, and I won Super Mario Brothers in 1980, whatever. So
yes,
I'm just a little heartbroken about that.
I used to love my Nintendo, the original.
The original.
Yes, like Legend of Zelda, Mario Brothers, those games.
Had them all.
We're from the same generation. Okay, two more. Ready?
Ready.
What's worse, laundry or dishes?
Laundry by a thin margin.
I think both. I don't like to do either. Okay, last one. Hamburgers or tacos?
Is this a worse or preference?
Oh, you don't like either?
No. I like them both. I'm going to go hamburgers.
Okay, I was going to go with that as well. Awesome. You made it through this or that.
Good. Okay. Easy. Way better. Thank you. I was nervous about.
Yoko, it was so great having you on the show and getting to know you a little better. And, you know, the next time I see you, we should definitely try some Oculus and, you know, we could both be old together.
I will try. I will keep an open mind.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in, and if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.